The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
On February 9th of 2004, 21-year-old UMass Amherst student Maura Murray disappeared in the White Mountains of New Hampshire in one of the most perplexing mysteries of our time.
For years, we have covered Maura's case and the tireless online community that surrounds it in great detail. We have since expanded our mission with this series, raising awareness and shining a light on the stories of other missing persons.
We now sit on the board of directors of the nonprofit organization Private Investigations for the Missing, which was founded by Bruce Maitland. Bruce's daughter, Brianna Maitland, went missing from Montgomery, Vermont on March 19th of 2004, just 6 weeks after and about 80 miles away from where Maura Murray vanished.
Private Investigations for the Missing aims to assist with investigations for underserved families whose missing loved ones have been forgotten by the media or by law enforcement. Through our growing community, we hope to shed a light on these cold cases.
Families and loved ones can reach out to us at investigationsforthemissing.org. This is Missing. Welcome back to Missing. This is part two of our evening with the gang. That is Bruce Maitland, Chloe Cantor, PIs Greg Overacker, Lou Barry, and Brianna Maitland's old friend Kira. And hopefully you can listen to part one and you want to do that before you listen to this.
And as most of you know at this point, but for some of you who do not know, Bruce Maitland is the head of a nonprofit. He founded this nonprofit called Private Investigations for the Missing, and he was wonderful enough to invite Tim and I on the board, and we have a wonderful board that has grown out of that, which includes our friends Michelle Kazuba, Jillian Kuzma, and our partner in crime, Jennifer Amell, also works very closely with the organization. And Greg and Lou, they are sort of the assigned private investigators who are working on various cases. So go to investigationsforthemissing.org for more information, or to donate, or to just simply pop in and say, hey, I think you're doing a good job, and keep up the good work.
And we just want to give a shout out to Chloe Cantor of the True Crime Twins, who had a rough couple of weeks with some health issues. She's currently in the hospital as we record this. She has been diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is pretty rare. It's known as GBS. And she is recovering. She is recovering with treatment as we speak.
And Tim, you and I had spoken about this, whether or not we should mention it on the show, and you said that she told you that she would rather people know about this so that at least it could raise some awareness. If anyone is experiencing anything like this, anyone who has any moment where you feel like your nerves aren't reacting or you're having some sort of vision impairment or some sort of speech impairment, that's nothing to mess around with. GBS is a disorder where the body's immune system damages and tries to destroy nerve cells, and you're not able to move your muscles, can sometimes cause paralysis, and it is a syndrome that they really don't fully understand yet, but it typically follows something like an infection with a virus or a bacteria. So just keep all that in your mind. Any indication of you or someone you know, again, it's really nothing to mess around with, and you need to get that treated as soon as possible.
Okay, everybody, thanks a lot for listening. Follow us on social media at MissingCSM.
And make sure to swing by crawlspace-media.com to check out all of our shows. We have, Tim, literally a slew of new shows that are in the hopper. One of them is live, Dragging the Dead, so check that out. But we have many announcements coming up for many shows that span many genres. So stay tuned.
I met Perry years ago, back when I first got it, must have been 2006 or 7. I went up there. She was one of the first people I talked to. Such a nice girl. Helped us out a lot. And I haven't seen her or talked to her in a long time. I talked to her a couple times over the years, but I haven't seen her or talked to her in a long time.
So, Bruce, you know Kira?
I've spoken with her sometime, yeah. And I, you know, remember a little bit about her when, you know, she was Brianna's good friends. I wish she would have spent more time with Kira and less with some others. You know, in retrospect, for sure.
Kira, how are you?
Welcome.
Hi. I can just hear you guys talking, so don't mind me if I'm a disaster.
It's quite all right. Thank you so much for joining us. I don't know how long it's been since you and Bruce have seen each other, but there you go.
A long time. Since high school, I think, probably. You haven't aged, Bruce, though. You look really good. And I just, as soon as I saw you, I saw Brie. So it was nice.
So you and Brianna were friends. Can you, I know it's going to be super emotional for you, but I think a lot of people want to hear how you guys met and maybe some adventures.
So I lived in Berkshire. And I started going to MVU, and so I needed to get on the bus in Franklin. So I had to drive probably 15-ish minutes, 10 or 15 minutes to get to the bus. And then Bruce might remember, it was like an hour. I feel like I remember an hour and a half, but I could have just been my teenage brain. But it's a really long bus ride either way. We were the last kids to get dropped off. And so they lived close to the store. And so, we got on the bus around the same time and I had a leather jacket on. I think I was in 10th grade or halfway through my 9th grade. And Bree commented on it and, she was just so sweet and pretty and friendly and, just not shy. She just wasn't shy. She was just, I was so grateful because I was like, oh, I'm the new girl that, you know, I don't know anyone. And so we chatted from there on out. And I just felt like we had so many similarities in that, you know, you could definitely dress her up easily, very easily. And at the same time, she was rough. Like she could lay down. She's very feisty, and I love listening to her about her trainings that she did, and just being able to protect herself. It was really impressive. I think of her a lot when my husband and I talk about getting Veda into Taekwondo or karate or any of those things. Like I really want to make sure that she's trained in self-defense. So yeah, I just felt like her and I were a lot alike in so many ways. She was, you know, definitely had that tomboy sense to her, and those are my kind of girls. But I loved her to pieces. I love her to pieces. I correct myself every time I say that. I don't take to girls instantly. I drove motorcycle for 10 years. I have a lot of guy friends. Like, that's just who I am. I don't do the ditzy, like, save me, I'm a girl. Like, I can't be friends with those girls. They drive me nuts. So I just took to Bree, like, right off the bat, that she was just, you know, her own person. And the girls that I still have in my life, which are a lot of them I've had since I was 5 even, it's those kind of girls. And they're just like really special to me. And Bree just like fit that, you know, she just fit that glove like 100%.
Other than the slick leather jacket that you were wearing, do you think that's what it was? Do you think that she might have, it's funny you have that sign that says vibes right behind you. Do you think that she might have sensed that vibe coming off of you, that she was similar, that the two of you would get along because, not only because like she just saw like you there, but she saw your mannerisms and saw what you put out there. Do you think that like there was a connection? And when you spoke to her, was there ever a time where you were unsure that you two would get along?
Not for a second. Not for a second. We just like, I always say that, you know, you fall in love with your husband or your wife, but you fall in love with your friends too. And I'm a huge believer of that. And that's definitely, Bree's one of those girls where I just like instantly fell in love with her. You know, she was just, everything about her, she's just perfect. And I think that she probably also was, you know, being her sweet, kind-hearted self and noticing that I was obviously like tense, you know, I didn't like being the new girl at all. So it would be like her to like reach out a hand and save someone that was like feeling awkward. So I was really grateful.
And you joined Chloe on True Crime Twins. And what was that like? Was Chloe super intimidating and you were really nervous and you were like, I've never met anyone who was just so so hard hitting?
Well, it's actually really hard to intimidate me. That's one thing that I have mastered in my life and I'm really proud of it. So no, not too much. Just being like, in any sort of public speaking does intimidate me, even though that's like part of my job. But no, Chloe's been amazing. I've always talked to anyone and everyone that's ever reached out to me. And like Greg was talking, I didn't realize I was the first person that he met, but I do remember like cruising around in the car with him and just showing him like everything I knew about anything, the area that we grew up. The interview was really good, and it is always hard. But at the same time, it makes me feel better because I constantly go through the, what can I be doing more? What, like, I just want to do something. So being able to do something, it feels better. And I just try to find creative ways to get her name out there. I constantly talk about her, constantly do my best to do anything I can.
Just a side note, you weren't the only one who first met Bree on the school bus. So it seemed to kind of be her thing to reach out a hand. Mm. Very sweet.
Yeah, super sweet. Super sweet.
Kira, I don't know if you can hear me, but I couldn't hear you or get visual. It's just a blank screen, but, you know, I mean,
oh.
I'm just so thankful that you were Brianna's friend. And I don't know, it's not all Brianna's friends were true friends, but you were. I'm sorry I missed the opportunity to hear what you had to say, really. So,
it's so hard to think and talk at the same time. One of my favorite memories with Bree is when her and I went to a pro dirt bike race. And sorry, Bruce, if you didn't know, I definitely was always like, make sure you tell your parents. Make sure. And I actually think, Bruce, my mom remembers talking to you. She said she remembers you calling to check, like, you know, are there going to be parents home? And, you know, all those like responsible parent questions, you know, my mom was just impressed by that. And when I was talking to my mom about that, I was like, Mom, you never called any of my friends to check because guess what? There wasn't any parents home. you know, so it was just kind of a, my mom like sends a lot of respect to you guys and definitely did everything right by her. But I don't know if she told you we were going to the pro dirt bike race. I assume maybe not. But she was safe with me. I definitely like kept an eye on her. It was just really fun. We had matching Fox tank tops. Yeah, I wish I still had it.
Bruce, do you recall hearing about the dirt bike race?
Probably not.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsor.
Gather round, friend, and join me by the fire. I have a secret to share. When I was a child, I lived with my grandma. She allowed me to watch Unsolved Mysteries. Fast forward to 2008, my freshman year of college. A series of armed robberies on campus escalated into a serial rapist's reign of terror. That's when I created my first crime podcast. In January 2014, I picked up the podcast again from my college roommate who fell for an underage girl online, to the chilling story of a murdered nun in 1969 Baltimore, and in the Throwaway series, I share my own journey of overcoming homelessness and how that experience led me to unmask a serial killer and identify three of his Jane Doe victims. This is Foul Play Crime Series, where the stories are real and the truth is waiting to be discovered.
This episode is made possible by PwC. When unprecedented times are all the time, it's time to start walking the talk. Leaders like you turn to PwC to see and stay ahead. Upskill your workforce, use intelligent automation, and transform big ideas into breakthrough outcomes. Explore the human-led, tech-powered solutions that help you thrive. It's all part of the new equation. Learn more at thenewequation.com.
Do you find yourself captivated by the inexplicable, entranced by enigmas, and tantalized by the unknown? We are Shane and Josh Waters, brothers who will weave you through tales that have mystified us for years. From haunted hotels to inexplicable disappearances,
our episodes offer you a panoramic view of the world's greatest mysteries, leaving no stone unturned, no clue unnoticed.
With a gripping narrative, we invite you to join us on a journey into realms of the unexplained.
We're unraveling the mysteries that have perplexed humanity for ages.
So, armchair detectives, curious minds, and seekers of the strange, it's time to put on your headphones and dim the lights.
Dive into the uncanny world of the Mystery Inc. podcast and prepare for a journey into the unknown that you'll never forget. And remember, some mysteries are better left unsolved, but not unexplored. Step into the hidden corridors of the past with Hometown History, where every episode uncovers the untold stories and secrets nestled in the streets and alleys of our own backyards. We bring history to life, revealing the extraordinary in the ordinary, from local legends to forgotten tales that shape the communities we know today. Tune into Hometown History and embark on a journey through time, right from where you are.
Thanks to our sponsors, and now we're back to the program.
I was just wondering, I know that you weren't in the same grade. This was a question I meant to ask you before. What was Bree like as a student? Was she a good student and participated a lot in class, or as far as you knew?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But, you know, she was just really respectful. She had manners and like, I don't know if it worked out that way for you guys, but like in our area, if you just respect the teachers and like halfway behave yourself, they'll just keep pushing you through. Like, you'll make it. and so, yeah, she was respectful. And I think we might have had a science class together, I feel like. My first like thought is like, I think she was good at school, you know, maybe got a little too chatty, like I did too. but that would probably sum it up for her. I think I don't think she was really rebellious like in school.
I was listening and dying to ask the question about the dirt bike race. Were you riding dirt bikes with Brianna? Was she riding one? Was this something you did? I miss that.
So my boyfriend at the time, Israel Plouf, I had introduced Bree and them, like all our friends kind of just mingled. Shauna also would like go to Israel's and hang out sometimes with me. And he drove dirt bike and raced here in Vermont. And then his friend Beetle also raced. And I think Bree and Beetle like dated for a minute. And so the four of us went to, I think it was Massachusetts, to the pro dirt bike races and watched, and it was awesome. I got into dirt bike racing and watching and stuff. And so I like, you know, knew all the names and stuff, but I couldn't tell you right now.
And you mentioned that you had like jackets, you had these outfits that you wore.
I think I bought, Bree and I, box tank tops. She bought a red, or she had a red one and I had a blue one. So we had matching tank tops and we like, of course, put those on as soon as we got them. And it was gorgeous out and super fun. It was great.
That's awesome. It's amazing. I didn't grow up in Vermont, but I grew up in New Hampshire and I understand the appeal of the dirt bike race. And you said you had the Fox tank tops. Did she ever say that she was sneaking out? Was she was like, I didn't tell my parents this? Or
yeah, it kind of things would go down that way, because you know, either I would sometimes like go to her house instead of going home, you know, from the bus, and like, oh, we'll just I'll just go to your house, which my mom I mean this is a joke and she knows it just as well as I do, but she'd forget me at the bus stop. So like she'll say, I didn't forget you, I didn't come get you. So I would like go to Breeze, you know, or else she would, you know, want to come to my house and I'm like, did you tell your parents? And she's like, no, because they'll tell me no or something like that. I'm like, you need to tell your parents. I do not want a part of this. Like, I don't want a part of you getting in trouble. It's not the first time that parents thought I was, you know, like I could be the bad influence. They, you know, they weren't wrong totally. I guess Chloe maybe named me correctly. I cried as soon as I saw the title of her podcast saying that I was like the mother hen. And I definitely do that a lot, my friends. So I may have been somewhat of a bad influence on friends, not so much Bree. I think I had smartened up enough at that time, but in the past, and I've always been super protective over my friends, though. That's always been there. So,
as we've talked about Brianna and that area and her friends, that seems to be the thread that is constant throughout these conversations, and the theme that's constant throughout these conversations is that you are all very loyal to each other and very protective of each other. Do you think that that had something to do with just the small town and the environment?
Yeah, it's super small town. Everyone knows everybody. Most people are either they are family or they're like family. You know, a lot of my friends would like practically live at my house a lot of times, or vice versa. So yeah, I think people are really close. I still to this day don't understand. I mean, if somebody knows, like legit knows something I'll be completely floored that the secret has been able to be kept. Absolutely floored. Secrets are not kept around here. They're just not. So that's one of my just things that don't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. There's ungodly things that you can find out around here. Like, because people talk, they're bored. They don't have anything else to do. I don't know how low income we're considered in Franklin County, but I feel like it's not super high income. So you know, you put all of those characteristics together, you know, small town, somewhat low income, people are bored around here. And that's what they do, is they talk and the rumors and.
That's like, it's really astonishing. Small town, people talk. Everyone that we have spoken with has talked about how Brianna would walk in a room and light it up. And she's a carefree spirit and such a tough human being and loyal. But something happened to her. And like you just said, it's a small town. Everyone talks. Why isn't anyone saying anything about that? I mean, that I understand that that must be on your mind every single day. And I'm not saying this to like make it worse, but I feel like saying things out loud help. Like, what is wrong with people up there if they know? And can you just like put this to rest for the people who care? Do one good thing for yourself?
Yeah, that's what I it's really hard for me to believe that, you know, some, like Chloe said, sometimes I'm like, okay, you know, this really feels like this is what it is, or, you know, whatever way. And that's changed over the years. But throughout, what has been consistent is that I just don't, and as time goes on more, I just don't know how the secret has been kept, if there is a secret. It just makes me think that maybe there isn't a secret, or that maybe people really don't know. But there's some stuff that also at the same time makes me go like, but yeah, that the secret thing really is, it's a big one, because somebody would have told somebody, and I have talked to every single person. I mean, even when Greg and I first met, I was young. I was 19, I think. And, you know, he had talked about, you know, I want to look into this situation or that situation. And I'm like, I'm on it. Like, I'm on it, you know, like, and, you know, I talk to as many people as I can. And I mean, obviously people know that I'm friends with her, but people do talk to me. Like, I definitely am able to get people to open up. It's kind of one of my things.
I know you weren't prepared to come on and talk about all this stuff, but, and I do not want to end on a frustrating, dark note, but I'm curious if you have a memory of Brianna that you just kind of smile at every time you think of that moment.
Oh, there's a lot. And it's actually helps me every time I talk about her, because I think there was a time in my life where I stopped remembering the good things because I was so focused on the bad part. So one thing that reminds me of her, and it is every day, every day that I put my mascara on, I think of her because she had like these ridiculous eyelashes, so ridiculous, like the top and the bottom, like they both were just so pretty. So yeah, every time I put my mascara on, I think about her. Every day, she just pops into my mind.
When a person goes missing, their loved ones often find themselves overcome with worry and grief. Bruce Maitland started the 501c3 nonprofit organization Private Investigations for the Missing because he knows this feeling all too well.
When Bruce's daughter Brianna disappeared in March 2004, he was surrounded by licensed private investigators dedicated to finding her. Now his mission is to provide dedicated private investigators at no cost to other families of the missing, desperate for answers but without the financial means.
Private Investigations for the Missing needs your help. To read the mission statement, make a donation, and keep up with our blog, visit us at investigationsforthemissing.org and follow us at PI for the Missing on Twitter and Facebook and Investigations for the Missing on Instagram.
Because forever is too long to wait.